new year. Welcome back to the EG Way. It's 2021. We are back for another season of the EG Way. And with me, of course, here, I'm Andrew Walkers. Great to be back. Hope you had a nice Christmas. And with me is Chris Pont.
Happy New Year, Andrew. Hope you had a good Christmas.
I had a mixed Christmas. I had a mixed Christmas, like everyone, but we all got COVID over Christmas. That was...
That's not good.
That's what Santa brought down our chimney. Thanks, Santa. But it's fun. You know what? We were very lucky. It's not great. I've got to say right now, you know what? If you hadn't had it, don't have it, would be my advice. But we've been very lucky compared with, you know, how the symptoms can affect some people. I think, you know, we got away lightly.
2020 is over and it's a new year. So, you know, something to look forward to now.
It is. It's something to look forward to. How was your Christmas?
Yeah, it was good. Good to spend some time with the kids. You know, obviously a very different Christmas. Probably my most sober Christmas yet.
I see. Okay, well, that's good. I saw a sign, a meme the other day someone sent me saying that if you think things are bad now, in 20 years, the country will be run by children who were homeschooled by alcoholics. So, you know, yeah, I think as long as you manage to get a Tesco delivery, that's the main thing. We actually bought a turkey enough for the in-laws coming, and they can eat quite a large volume of turkey. So we got a big turkey, which is currently for now filling my freezer. I was YouTubing how to butcher a turkey so as not to waste any of it. So yeah, we hardly ate any.
we were having turkey and beef rolls for the next 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, I think. Well, I've got a fridge full of turkey now. So of course, when the third lockdown was announced, I did think to myself, well, at least we're stocked up with enough food for next Christmas. So hopefully it won't last that long. And okay, so what is on the menu? He said, segueing smoothly there with a food-related pun. What's on the menu for EG for 2021? What are your New Year's tech resolutions?
Well, we've got a lot of marketing activities on the go, obviously what we can do within the restrictions at the moment. So lots of webinars, lots of roundtables, you know, lots of content going out there, which is exciting. So this is all going to be about tech trends for 2021. So there's lots of reports out there, generally by big analytics companies like Gartner, who will look at tech trends, but they all tend to be aimed at large blue chip businesses. And what we're aiming this at is smaller SMEs. You know, what tech trends can we see having an effect on those small, medium sized businesses? You know, what can be adopted easily by those businesses where you haven't got millions and millions of pounds worth of budget to throw at it?
I'm thinking Internet of Things has been the one that people have been getting most excited about, because obviously 5G was going to be unlocking a whole new level of connectivity, which of course, you know, in sort of a business context is going to have a huge impact on logistics and supply and the mechanisms that drive a lot of that kind of stuff, which could be vital, obviously, as we rebuild things after COVID, having smarter ways to actually deliver and sort of quantify our needs with sort of live systems. Do you think that's going to be a biggie, or we're looking at, you know, things that are going to be slightly more attainable?
No, absolutely. I think, you know, 5G obviously enables a lot in terms of IoT. And it's not just the extra bandwidth. You know, everyone focuses on the extra speed. It's not just the speed, it's the reliability. It's the edge compute capability and the lower battery consumption. So you can have these small devices out there that run on batteries, you know, constantly sensing things like temperature or vibration or pressure. And, you know, they can sit there for years just running off a small battery. But it's also the price of those devices that's coming down. You can get a Raspberry Pi Zero now for what, 15 quid? And, you know, you can write code that runs on those devices, you know, using everyday programming languages like .NET, Java, Python, and easily deploy them. So it's making those it's making that whole IoT ecosystem much more accessible for smaller businesses.
And it's an interesting one as well, isn't it, for experiences, for consumer experiences. In fact, our guest this week, Jason from Numerous, Jason Bullock, CEO of Numerous App, is joining us here in our virtual studio this week. And they are one of those amazing sort of tech startups that's looking at doing more interesting things with your personal data. And we were having a conversation, and we'll come back to this with him shortly, where we were talking about the idea that actually, you know, walking into a shopping mall and having your phone lining up deals for you using near-field chips and beacon technologies and actually directing you to the places where you want to go, and that whole sort of next level brick-and-mortar shopping experience is also just around the corner.
Yeah, it's exciting, but at the same time, you know, a lot about what Jason's doing at Numerous is making sure that people are able to make those decisions on where their data is used and how it's used, so that you're not walking into a shopping center and getting bombarded with adverts that you don't want, or communicate with you when you don't want that.
I suppose there are still a lot of little things that we need to get sorted, right? Because I find adverts that follow me around the web still annoying. And that's really, you know, old school technology, I guess, ad retargeting and cookies and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot of, though, user experience issues, just like, you know, that one thing you search for on Amazon that then follows you around every other website.
Yeah, it's scary when it follows you around the web. You know, other websites that you're on, suddenly you're seeing those adverts for that same thing that you've been searching for on Amazon.
And, you know, after you've bought it, all you do is see adverts for the same product. So I guess before we get into, you know, live experiential shopping things, we have got a few privacy issues we've got to fix.
You kind of need a button there that says, I've bought them now. You know, stop sending me the adverts.
Or maybe what you need is a new kind of relationship with your personal data and with the brands that want to access it, and, you know, the things that you get to do with it. So we need smarter personal data, right? And on that front, this is a great time to bring in Jason Bullock, who is the CEO and the co-founder of Numerous App, Numerous.app, which is, of course, doing just that. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hi, Andrew. Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me.
So, Jason, for those people who don't have the Numerous app yet, it's been called a data sharing marketplace where consumers and brands can meet. I call it a way for people to actually get rewarded for sharing their data with brands. Tell us a bit more about it.
So essentially, it hinges around the vision that we want to establish a new personal data sharing economy and create a world where the power and value of data benefits all. And essentially, that means there's enough value in personal data for everyone to benefit in society, and not just those large corporations, those big tech companies. So essentially, it's a data sharing marketplace for consumers and brands to meet and benefit mutually from the value of data. So essentially, for consumers, it means that they can, for the first time, they can come in and they can have some control over the data, but more importantly, they can share in its value. So they do this very simply by creating a data profile. We then give them a number of different ways they can unlock the value of that data. And obviously, the more detailed the profile, the more earnings they can expect to make. And so obviously, you know, in order for consumers to be able to benefit emotionally and financially, brands have to also be able to benefit from the data. We have to create value for them. So we allow them to do things like they can use the personal profile that a consumer creates to personalize the shopping experience, both online and out of home. They can identify and engage with new audiences. They can identify customers who have a stronger affinity, because we know, you know, a lot about these consumers, you know, more about these consumers than they would be able to find out anywhere else. We have a number of different machine learning models that help them identify the best customers and you know, help them personalize the experience and convert those customers and then retain them and encourage loyalty. And then obviously we can help them doing things like they can conduct quick and cost-effective market research, and they can also get a lot of insight out of the data that we hold. So, but the most important thing though is that while we're creating all this value for brands and retailers, the most important thing is all of that value is then that Numerous creates is shared back with the consumer. So they, you know, for the first time, they're actually, we help them unlock the value that is in their personal data. And this is something that others have tried, And you know, I can go into a bit more detail later about why I think that they've not been able to successfully crack the formula and why I think we're different. But the idea has been around for quite some time now, actually. So we came up with the idea about 2 years ago. We decided that because there are a number of companies really trying to tackle this problem, we decided that really we need to do a lot more research and really understand the needs of the consumer. I mentioned to you before, I was working, I was running another business at the time, which I eventually stepped down from and hired a new CEO. But I was working on another business, but we wanted to develop this in parallel. So we did a lot of research, and then actually we engaged with EG, and EG built the MVP for us. And then we, from that MVP, we did a soft launch. We called it our alpha launch. We got a lot of feedback. It turns out the consumer didn't actually like the app that we built, and it was nothing to do with EG. They'd built it exactly to spec, but it turns out we'd made some miscalculations. And so we collected a huge amount of feedback over a short period of time from consumers. It's a really good learning curve. We then rebuilt the app, launched again in what we call our beta trial, and completely smashed it out of the park. You know, the consumers absolutely loved it. So since then, we've raised the seed round. We're now going through the process of making a number of changes and introducing a number of features based on the feedback. We've added 50 brands to the platform. We should be closer to 100 within a couple of months. And we're just now preparing to go live. So we're still quite a small team. So obviously, as you know, Andrew, these things do take quite a long time. But we're really trying to get a strong product out to market. We've got a team of 7 full-time employees, which is primarily a really strong development team, and then some kind of support around that, and a few part-timers, including Chris Pond, actually, who's our CTO.
Yes, indeed. Chris, there we are, is you get some Chris time as well. He's it's a great co-hosting a show with him. I hope he's good in the boardroom as well. He does make a mean cup of virtual coffee.
yeah, it's better than his real coffee.
Let's put it that way. So, sorry, Chris. So, it's a busy time for you right now, because January traditionally is a time when people review their services. They'll sign up for new products. They'll sign up for new services. They'll make changes. They sign up for diets. It's New Year's resolution territory, and getting your household finances in order, or you know, getting rid of that old TV and getting a new one. It's that time of year. That's why we have the January sales. So I'm interested in, you know, this busy time, you're getting information out of people in a really sort of interesting, sort of gamifying way. And the more information they decide to share with brands, then the more rewards they get back. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. So with regards to New Year, obviously New Year is really important because there will be more activity. But really, this is more about a changing trend in society in general. You know, this is we're latching onto the zeitgeist here. A time when consumers are far more aware of the fact that their personal data has value. In fact, actually, research has shown that 50% of consumers now see their personal data as an asset, a valuable asset. But actually, virtually no consumers that, you know, in our surveys and in other studies we looked at are able to name a product or a company that's designed to or out there to help them unlock that value. And they're becoming slightly resentful about it, you know. So consumers don't mind sharing their data. And this is a really important thing to consider, because there's a lot of companies out there at the moment who are trying to tackle this problem. And their solutions tend to focus on, you know, this decentralized model, this idea that you have to extract the data from the system in order to give consumers control, you know, and control that comes from ownership of the data and the responsibility and the decision-making of what to do with it. But the problem with that is, you know, data itself isn't inherently valuable. It's what you do with the data that's valuable. And if you decentralize the data, then it becomes that much harder to create value for the consumer. And that's the most important thing. The idea that consumers, you know, they don't necessarily want to own their data. They just want a fair system that's equitable, that treats them with respect, that is transparent, gives them some control over the consent, so they can agree what you can and can't do with it, and then fairly compensates them. And so, you know, with regards to the gamification, the most important thing is creating that clear link between the amount of data they give us and the value they can create. So, you know, the gamification is there's lots of different, you know, facets to it. There's lots of parts to it. But one of the most important things is we have a system whereby you can earn actively by participating in branded surveys and transacting and engaging with brands. And then there's the passive where you don't have to participate, and it's just where we unlock value through insight and machine learning models and whatever else. But the most important thing is, first of all, you generally become more valuable the more we know about you. So the more we know about you, the more value we can offer to brands, and therefore the more they'll pay and the more we can compensate. We also create a tiered system. So this is going live very soon. There's a tiered system. So when you come in, you can participate in everything. But because you haven't given as much data, you're on a lower tier whereby you generally, you know, you're not worth as much as a consumer, and therefore there's only so much value we can unlock. And so the more data you give, the more you transition through the tiers. And as you get to the top tiers, you become a lot more valuable. You know, we can do a lot more, we can unlock a lot more value for you. So that creates then a really strong link between the data that you're giving us and the amount you're engaging with us and the amount of value that we can unlock for you. And that is why I think it's so engaging. It's interesting, you mentioned before about, you know, this idea of the Internet of Things and, you know, how that changes things. And it does change things. And there will be a lot of companies that benefit from it, but it will be those companies that are covertly collecting data in order to create more value for themselves. And this is exactly what consumers aren't happy with at the moment. So we don't really focus on passive data. And passive data is the byproduct of your technological existence. You know, that's the best way, I think, to describe it. Every time you do anything online, there are traces of data that you leave behind, and that's collected. And then it's used, to, you know, manipulate you into buying decisions, and it's used for all kinds of other ways to create value for those businesses.
And we're going to take a quick break there, because while we've been talking about gamification, we've got a quick audio selfie here from Benjamin Rogers, who is, of course, a senior quality engineer at EG. And he also has a few thoughts about playing more games and gamification.
Hi, I'm Ben Rogers. I'm a senior QA at EG. And I'm not a great one for New Year's resolutions, but I think this year in 2021, I'm going to set a resolution of playing more games. Now, my colleagues will probably think that's ridiculous, and how could I play more games? I think it's particularly with the last year that we've had, I think getting around with people that I can play with and I can game with, be it at home or support bubbles or whatever, I think is a big thing for me. And it's an escape and it's fun, but also it reflects on what I do at work, because I'm very keen on gamification, on taking aspects of games and in putting them into projects and putting them into the way we work, so that you can make that workplace fun, you can make project activities more engaging, you can create a bit of possibly sort of competition within teams and within the work environment, but also just to kind of lighten the mood and make work as fun as it can be. And so, yeah, I think play more games in work and out of work, and just happy new year.
We know that people are increasingly concerned about their online data, cookies, getting targeted and retargeted by adverts, as me and Andrew spoke about earlier. So the benefits for consumers and their personal data is really strong. But tell us more about the brands. What are the benefits for the brands to actually get involved with Numerous?
90% of the ads you see are not relevant to you. So it just shows that actually it's not that effective. And, you know, brands are trying to personalize it. So consumers are really, you know, they enjoy personalized shopping experiences more. And so, you know, I think the latest research shows that 76% of consumers, they now want personalized services when they're shopping online or in store, or personalized experiences, so they say. And it, you know, it makes a big difference. So brands are really desperately trying to provide these personalized experiences, but the only way they know how to do it is by, you know, collecting massive amounts of this passive data covertly. And there's no benefit to the consumer for that at all. And consumers become more aware of this. So we focus on the active data. And that's the data that consumers give us consensually. And it tells us who they are as a person and what their values are and what motivates them to buy and what kind of brands they enjoy doing business with. And, you know, all this really fascinating information that can really help match them with brands that really meet their individual needs. And that's a really important part. Actually, one of our earliest machine learning models was a matching algorithm. And so as a consumer, you're not just presented with, you know, an entire market of businesses that you could do business with. We try and match you with brands that really align with your values and, you know, really meet your individual needs. And so you're more likely to be happy with that brand and you're more likely to be loyal because there's this big expectation gap. You know, research has shown that customer loyalty is dropping. You know, it's in decline year on year. And it's because of the expectation gap. It's because you shop with a brand based on what you think their value proposition is. And you end up at some point disappointed because either the company hasn't met your expectations or the product hasn't. And therefore, you're more likely to then, you know, shop elsewhere in the future. But if you can get that alignment right, and if you can find the best customers and the best brands and match them together, you're more likely to have far more loyal and more valuable customers for the long term.
How do you get brands to engage with this product from the other side? Because it's a bit of a mindset shift for them, right? So understanding they've come out of a world where it's all about buying ad space and ad retargeting and those traditional models that aren't working. How do you get them engaged with a product like Numerous that's sort of shifting mindsets?
Well, yeah, it's a good question. And brands and retailers, they have to adapt. You know, we can see that there is a shifting paradigm where there's more legislation and, you know, more awareness. And it's going to get harder and harder for brands and retailers to collect and use covertly collect data, or let's say harvest the data. And so in the early days, it's quite straightforward because we create lots of ways for consumers to unlock their value without necessarily having to have too much involvement from the brands and the retailers. So we can, in the first instance, we can send you through to a retailer and we can provide cashback. That's the first and foremost. And the more we send users through to these brands, you know, we talk to a lot of brands already. So we've got a really close relationship with a lot of brands who are on the platform and they're really interested in what we're doing. But obviously, we can't put the cart before the horse. So we need to build up that user base. This is a movement. You know, we need consumers to really get behind this and help us reach that critical mass. Because as we get more users on, the brands are going to be more willing to adapt to this model. And we can then start unlocking a lot more value for the consumers. So in the short term, it's really easy because, you know, brands are quite happy to connect with us and just provide that cash back. It's not a new model. But you know, as we progress and as we grow, we can then start to look at other ways to unlock value and really engage with brands directly. So we can provide insight from the data to brands. They can do co-branded surveys. In fact, actually, some brands are already now participating in branded surveys where they'll reward consumers financially for answering surveys. And as you mentioned earlier on, that's the kind of we've built this survey engine for Numerous, and we built it as with Numerous being a client. So it's built in such a way that we've been added onto the platform as a client. We create these surveys for consumers to engage in so that it's interesting because at the end of surveys, you get some insight back about yourself. Actually, that's a feature we're about to launch. At the end of each survey, you'll get some interesting insight back about yourself. You'll be compared to, you know, a similar cohort and you know, cross sections of society. You'll be able to share the outcome of those surveys on social to draw up some interest. So there's lots and lots and lots of different ways for brands to get involved. You know, they can get the insight, they can do co-branded surveys, they can access the consumer profile to personalize the shopping experience. So yeah, it's very interesting. And for consumers, we're to help us reach that critical mass, we're doing things like, you know, there are co-branded surveys, so they can get rewarded for some surveys. We're doing a really interesting referral system. So if you refer friends, you get that immediate reward, which is, you know, a £5 bonus at the moment. But you also get a lifetime percentage of all the value that referral creates. So if I was to refer you into the platform and you become very active over the next couple of years, I take a percentage of all of the value that you create. So we think that with the vision that we've got and the engaging platform, all the gamification and this really, you know, interesting and lucrative referral system, we think we can scale up quite quickly.
Jason, I want to ask you, so 2021, what are your New Year's resolutions for Numerous, and also, if you care to share them, for yourself?
Okay, so do you know, I hadn't actually pondered this. So I see how I will come up with something, but I'm someone that doesn't typically. I work in quarters, and I tend to ignore the new year because New Year's resolutions for me are always a failure.
Okay, then Jason, what are your Q1 resolutions then?
my Q1 resolutions. Okay, so for Numerous, it's really important now that we worked really hard to validate the fact that consumers would share our vision and they would share their data with us. Now we need to work really hard to validate that we can create value for them. So now it's time to start repaying their faith in us. So Q1, we're really focused on unlocking value for consumers and obviously scaling the platform. Just proving that we can scale the platform quickly. And then also raising some additional funds. So we raised a small seed fund, which just helped us, you know, implement the changes we got from the beta and onboard the brands. And to go into this next phase of product market validation. And so, yeah, we want to go into a second funding round and get a bigger amount of cash and obviously start scaling up a lot more quickly, a lot more aggressively. So from the business perspective, those are the resolutions for Q1 in 2021. And for myself, use Numerous more, I would say, is one resolution for me. Let me think. That's a really tough question.
Listen, we're not going to put you on the spot now for your own personal resolution there, Jason. You know what? Just come back on the show and tell us about it in a few months' time and give us an update on Numerous as well.
No problem. Thank you for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure. Happy New Year.
Okay, well, that is all the time we have for this episode of The EG Way. We're going to have to go. But Chris, before we go, I've got to ask you a couple of questions, because what's your New Year's resolution going to be? I hear you're running a marathon this year. Is that right?
Yeah, I had a few races from last year that have been deferred to this year. Obviously, you know, a lot of those events were affected by lockdowns. So I think I've got about 5 or 6 races that have been moved to 2021. I'm also looking to do a bit more volunteering, so just sort of giving up some of my time to help some worthy causes.
And okay, well, that they're both noble goals. I mean, to be honest with you, the running is never going to happen for me. I'm going to do the Nayland 5K is my plan. If it's on, and I hope it is going to be on this year, it was postponed from last year. I did the Couch to 5K. I'm going to do the Nayland 5K. You can come to the Nayland 5K and see a fat middle-aged man drop dead with a heart attack live. And then subsequently dead. That'll be me. That'll be me. I'm sorry.
Are you still tracking the miles on Strava, Andrew?
I am, but since I haven't, you'll have noticed a dip because with moving house and then COVID, my running has lapsed. But this year, no, I'm getting back on it. I'm going to be doing the Strava challenge. You'll find Chris on Strava, Chris Pont, at eg.com. You'll find him on Strava. You can find me as well, andrewkeithwalker@gmail.com. Find us on Strava and marvel at Chris's sporting prowess and feel sorry for the terrible shape I am in. There, I've said it. That's all good stuff, Chris. I mean, I'm willing to give it a go this year to try and get my miles up for charity as well. Is EG going to be sponsoring anything? The charity, you were going to do the 2020 challenge last year, weren't you?
Yeah, we did that for a while. Obviously, lockdown had an effect on that by the end of March. But we do have a charity that we support every year. And we've been supporting Homes for Good, which finds homes for foster care children. And I think our charity committee need to decide on a charity for us to support this year.
Good. Okay, well, that's us for the EG Way this week. We will be, however, seeing a lot more of you over the month of January because, yes, we are locked down and we've got 6 long weeks ahead, but that's not 6 weeks of isolation. It's 6 weeks of virtual activities, reaching out and connecting. And also, don't forget, we have got on Wednesday, the 20th of January, we're running a day-long webinar on tech trends for 2021, how they're going to affect your business. I'm delighted to say we already have 460 people booked for that. So that is going to be the first cool virtual conference of the year, and it's happening at EG in the ether. So do go to our website, find the details for that, sign up and come along. We'd love to see you there. And also, if you'd like to be on the podcast, do get in touch with us. This year, we're going to get more of our EG listeners involved in the show. So do get in touch with us on our LinkedIn page. And that is linkedin.com/EG_limited. That's IJYI, because everything we do is a great example, isn't it, Chris?
That's right.
I mean, in fairness, everything Chris does is a great example. Everything I do is a bit sloppy.
Thanks, Andrew. It's been fun again.
It has been fun. It's good to be back. And from all of us here at EG, a very happy new year to you. And we hope 2021, it may have got off to a bit of a shaky start, but there's an end to all this lockdown business in sight. And there's going to be lots and lots of business to do and lots of work for us to do together. So we're looking forward to seeing more of you this year. And in the meantime, from me, Andrew Walker, I'm going to say bye-bye. And yes, goodbye from EG. Bye-bye. See ya.